Good morning to our Bunker Hill Community Church family. Sorry we can't be together for our services at the church, but this morning I just want to share a little bit from God's Word with you in lieu of being together as a church family. And I'm going to be preaching from Psalm 46, not really preaching, just sharing a quick challenge. Psalm 46, let me read that first. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Let's take a minute and pray. Lord, thank you that you have given us your word. You've given us all things that we need to know from you, and we can count on them to be true. And Lord, as you've told us this morning, that you are our refuge. I pray that you would help us to find refuge in you, that our safety would be in you. I pray that you bless us now during these few minutes. May your word help us to move forward in truth, and I pray that you would be honored and glorified now in this time together. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, right now, in the midst of all of this stuff about the coronavirus and the uncertainty about what's going to happen, I thought it would be appropriate just to share this passage with you in Psalm 46, where it says, the Lord is our refuge. You know, with all of the stuff going on, the people are panicking, governments are taking all kinds of precautions to prevent the spread of this disease that's going around, and many people are living in fear, not knowing what to do. The panic, just buying out toilet paper at the store, is kind of an overreaction, but that's the way people react when they don't know what's going on. And it's fear in the face of uncertainty. But the reality is that God is in control of all of it. No matter how much people do to protect themselves, if God wants them to get sick, they're going to get sick. If God wants them to die, they're going to die, because God's in control of life. He's in control of death. He's in control of sickness and health. And so we have to look at God and take his perspective on this, because we can't change God's purpose. We can't somehow will away what God wants, or do something to prevent God's will from actually being done. So our fate is in God's hands, and that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. We need to remember that God will always do what's best for us. And so the question that comes to our mind all the time is God really in control of all of this? Is God making all of this work for our good, as he says in Romans 8:28? Because we can't see the good that comes out of it. Well, think of Job for a minute, because Job is a perfect example, I think, to put in this scenario here as an illustration. And when God allowed Satan to touch Job's health, and he got sick and was covered from head to toe with boils, after he had lost everything, his family and all his possessions, he was just probably in the extreme situation as far as pain and discomfort. And his wife told him at that point, why don't you just curse God and die? And yet Job's answer was different than that. He said to her in Job 2, verse 10, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall not we receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. So Job recognized that God allows things to come into our lives that we see as evil, that we see as possibly bad for us, and yet in God's plan, they are good for us. And it's easy for us to trust God when everything seems to be going good. And we can say, yeah, we're trusting God, we praise God when all the things are working out. But when things start to go wrong and when things are uncertain in the face of our future, then the question is, are we really still trusting God? Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And that really is the essence of real faith and trust in the Lord. But again, it comes back to Romans 8:28. Do we know that God works all things together for our good? Do we know that God works all things for our best, that he has a plan and it's all going to work out according to his will? And the question is, if we know these things, then why do we get so fearful when things like this happen? Why does our actions change? Why do our actions change and all of a sudden we're controlled by fear? We're controlled by panic instead of continuing to trust God in this? And it's the answer is easy. It's because we're human beings. We're like the disciples. They were 12 men that Christ chose to train, to focus on his doing his work and learning to trust him personally. And yet they stood and listened to him teach about God caring about each of our needs, how God cares for our clothing and God cares and provides our food and he cares for the lilies. And so he will care for us. And he cares for the grass of the field, so he will care for us. They hear this message, and then Christ says, okay, we're going to go take a trip in a boat across the Sea of Galilee. And he goes and lays down in the back and falls asleep. And halfway across the lake, this huge storm comes up. And the disciples were no strangers to storms. Many of them were fishermen, and they had gone through storms like this in the past, but not to this extent. This was a new one for them, a new experience. And Mark chapter 4 tells us that as the disciples were panicking in the middle of this storm and they're doing everything they can to save their boat and to save their lives, they realize that Jesus isn't there. And so they go into the back of the boat and they find him asleep. And they reprimand him for sleeping while everybody else is working. And they basically say, don't you care that we're going to die? Don't you care about us? And that's the question that we end up asking God, at least internally, when we face crisis in our lives and when we face dangers of uncertainty, you know, like this virus, nobody knows what it's going to do. Nobody knows where it's going to go or what's going to happen. And so we ask the question, don't you care about us, God? Just like the disciples did. And Jesus got up when they woke him up. He got up and he didn't say anything to them at first. He just turned to the storm and he said, peace, be still. And immediately the waves stopped, the wind stopped, the rain stopped, and it was as calm as glass. Everything was just perfectly still. So nature obeyed God at his word. And then he turns to the disciples and he says the same message. Peace, be still. And he asked them, why don't you have any faith? What happened to the faith that you said you had in me? And it's the same question that God's asking us. You know, what's happened to our faith just because we don't understand what's happening? Just because there's uncertainty in front of us. And as we think about that account of the disciples in the storm, there's a couple things that are brought to mind that we should remember. First, we have to remember that it was Jesus' idea for them to go into the boat. He told them, let's go into the boat and take a trip across the lake. And they did it. They obeyed him. So the storm was not because of disobedience. The storm wasn't because they were someplace they weren't supposed to be. The storm came when they were doing exactly what Christ asked them to do. They were obeying him perfectly, and they still ended up in the middle of the storm. And so God brings storms into our lives sometimes because he wants to test our faith. He plans for us to go through those storms. And we need to make sure that we understand that the storms are not just because we may be in sin or because God wants to punish us for something. Sometimes the storms come because God is just trying to help us to realize that we need to continue to grow in faith and we need to trust him more. The second lesson is that God was in control of the storm and the boat as well as the lives of the disciples. And it's easy to say that God, yes, we believe God's in control of our life. We believe that God controls everything, but the real test is when things come into our life that disrupt everything and all of a sudden we don't know what's going on. Do we still trust God? And do we live like and act like God's still in control? So the application for us when we look at the disciples in the boat and the storm that they had to go through is that just like Christ said to them, peace be still. He's saying to us, in the midst of all of this crisis, in the midst of all of this uncertainty and confusion around us, peace be still. We need to stop and let God direct us. Stop and let God give us the peace that can only come from Him, Philippians 4, as we give to Him all of our requests in prayer, as we lay all of our burdens on Him. And that's when we get that peace that passes all understanding, Philippians 4 says. We don't have anything to fear because God's in control. Going back to Psalm 46, this is the passage I read this morning. It says, again, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is not somewhere far off during this time of uncertainty and during this time of panic, really, in the world, with all of this going on and without anybody knowing about this virus or what's going to happen with it. But the Bible says God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. And because of that, verse 2, therefore we will not fear. Though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof. And here the psalmist is describing a massive earthquake in which the mountains literally fall apart and they fall into the sea. I mean, that would be a catastrophic thing if that actually happened on this earth. And someday it may, as God destroys the earth. But at this point, we're not looking at something that catastrophic. And yet the psalmist is describing this huge, massive, worldwide catastrophic event. And he says, therefore, we will not fear, though this happens, though the mountains be removed, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Even if it gets that bad, we don't have to fear. He goes on in verse 4, he says, there's a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. So the psalmist gives us that place where peace is found. It is in the presence of God. As we put ourselves into the presence of God, we can find that peace. We can find that refuge that God has for us. And again, Philippians chapter 4 says, we are ushered into the presence of God through prayer. Prayer is that door that opens us into the throne room of God so that we can give Him our petitions, we can give Him our requests, we can give Him our fears. And then it says, and the peace that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's where peace is found, in the presence of God. And the psalmist says that our refuge, our peace is found in the presence of God. He is there. He's not going to leave. But we have to be in His presence to find that peace. And then in verse 6, he says, the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations He hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. And so the psalmist here continues to go on to talk about how God controls even kingdoms and the wars that are waged on this earth. And even when the heathen rise up and trying to conquer the world and try to destroy good and maybe even destroy the works and the people of God, that God just stops them with His voice. All it takes is a word from the Lord and they are destroyed. The earth melts, it says. And it's talking about the people, the leaders of the earth. The earth melts away like butter before a fire. That's the strength of our God. And we see the same message then in verse 10 that Jesus gave the disciples after all of these catastrophic things He describes in the beginning of Psalm 46. He gets to verse 10 and He says, be still and know that I am God. It's a stillness in the presence of God that brings peace. It's not panic. It's not fear. It's not going overboard and trying to figure everything out ourselves. It's being still in the presence of God. He goes on in verse 10. He says, I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. See, we have no reason to panic or be afraid in situations like this. And really, even with all the questions that people have, we really don't need to question things either, because God's in control of it all. And maybe God won't give us the answers that we want, but that's okay, because God's still in control of it. So whether it be a foreign invader or a foreign virus, it's all under the control of God Almighty. And the fact is, God can use even an epidemic like this that we're facing to bring glory to himself, whether he chooses to stop it in a day or to let it go on for months and ravage nations across the world. God will bring glory to himself. That's what it says. He says in verse 10, I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. God will use even this to glorify himself. And even though many people may die, even though many people will get sick and many people may die, it could be thousands, it could be millions, we have no idea. God is glorified. If those people who die are unsaved, that is God's justice in them choosing to reject him and then receiving the natural consequences of that choice. And so God is glorified and justified even in that. If people who are saved end up dying because of this virus, God is still glorified, because those people are then ushered out of the presence of pain and suffering and directly into his presence, where there's perfect peace and no more suffering and no more pain. And so no matter what, God is glorified in this. He's in control. He gives life. He takes life. The power of life and death are in his hand. And so we have to look at it from that perspective, but then also remember that because he's in control of all this, we have nothing to worry about, because God never makes mistakes. He will do all things for our good. So we have no reason to fear, no reason to worry, and only God to trust and to look to through this, no matter what happens. So here's the question that I want to ask you, and you've heard this before, but the question is, how big is your God? Isaiah 41, verse 10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. It's God who brings us through this stuff, and it's God who we get strength from. It's God who gives us life. It's God who provides for us. It's God who protects us from sickness and this virus, if he so wills. And it's God who allows us to get this virus, if he so wills. But we're in his hand. We're under his control. And so when things from our perspective seem out of control, we have to remember that God is still in control. And when we face things like this, it's just a test about how much we really trust him. How big is our God? He hasn't changed. He's not smaller. He's not aloof and not paying attention. He's still there. He's still the same God. He's still doing the same things. He still cares about us. He still has the same power. He still controls everything in this world. The problem is, our faith is not what it should be. And so when the trials come, it's a test to see, for us to see, that we still lack faith. Just like Jesus told the disciples in the boat, why do you lack faith? Why do you not trust me? So the question we have to answer for ourselves is this: how big is our God? How big is your God? Can God protect you from sickness if he so chooses? Can he bring you through this and still have a good end at the other side of it, whether it be in death or in life? And if he allows you to get sick, does that mean that he's not loving or that he doesn't care about you? God still cares, but is he strong enough to bring you through it alive, just as he brought the disciples through their storm? There's no catastrophe that we can face that God can't bring us through. And no matter what happens on the other end, it's God's purpose and God's goodwill, and God will be glorified in it. That's the way we have to look at it. Now, again, let me remind you how Psalm 46 begins. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That means he's here. That means he's ready to help us. And sometimes I think the only reason that we don't see the help of God is because we don't go to him first. He becomes our last resort. But Psalms 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. So we don't have any reason to fear. I want to leave you with one more verse today that hopefully will be an encouragement through these days of uneasiness and woe. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And what this verse tells us is that God has already given us the antidote to fear. He's not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power and sound mind. What does that mean? It means God has given us supernatural power through His Spirit to encounter any foes. God has given us supernatural power through His Spirit to bear up under any burden. God has given us the power through His Spirit to persevere through any kind of danger, no matter what it may be. We have the power in our lives already because we have the Holy Spirit of God. And He's given us a sound mind. And we looked at this last week even when we talked about the characteristics or the qualities of a pastor, an elder, who is a sober-minded or in sound mind. It means he's focused on the truth. He's not distracted by other things. So God has actually given all of us the spirit that will keep us sound in mind to remain focused on the absolute truth of His Word. And the truth says that God does not change, that God is still in control, that God will never leave us or forsake us, that He is our refuge in time of trouble. And as it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, that He is able to do exceeding abundantly more than we ask or think, according to the power that is in us. And that's not saying God's way up there somewhere. It says God will do exceeding abundantly more than we ask or think because of the power that's in us. It's the Holy Spirit that does that work in us. So no matter how bad it gets out there, no matter how, whether we get sick, whether you stay well, whether people around you worry and panic, whether we end up quarantined in our houses for weeks at a time in the coming days, or even if people around us end up dying from this virus, we don't have anything to fear. And we shouldn't fear. Because fear demonstrates that we don't believe God is big enough to handle this. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. My God is bigger than all of this, and I know I can trust Him because He said so in His Word. I'm going to trust on the power of the Spirit of the power and sound mind that God has given me in His Spirit, and keep my focus on how big God really is. That will keep us from fear. So here's the question I want to leave with you. How big is your God? Really, how big is your God in all of this? Can He handle it? Can you trust Him to take care of you through it? Let's pray. Lord, thank You that You are a big God, that You love us, and You have promised that You will take care of us. And Lord, I pray that You would give us a foundation of truth to count on as we look into Your Word during these times of uncertainty, to know that You are an ever-changing God, an unchanging God in an ever-changing world. And so we can trust that You will always do what's best because that's what You have told us in Your Word. Lord, help us to go forward in the face of fear, without fear, trusting You to bring us through according to Your will. And we'll give You the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.